Turin Shulchan Aruch is divided into four segments. Kosher Mishpat is about Dini Mamanas, like Shemitah's Ksafim. Nezikin, loosely speaking. Evan Hazar is about Nashim. We'll be seeing it plenty, Mirtz Hashem, over the course of the year in learning the Masechta. Yeridei is a wide array of various halachas in Isur v'Heter. And right now we turn our attention to Aruch Chaim, the first of the four sections, which takes you through three cycles. The first third of Aruch Chaim, if you learn Mishnah Berurah is Aruch Chaim printed in six volumes. So the first two volumes, the first third of Aruch Chaim, takes you through the cycle of the day. We'll wake up in the morning, and morning mitzvahs, and davening, and brachas, and so on and so forth, until you go to sleep at night. The middle third of Aruch Chaim takes you through the weekly cycle, obviously with a focus on Shabbos. And then the last third, the third third of Aruch Chaim, takes you through the annual cycle. Starting with Rosh Chodesh and Pesach, all the way through the entire Hilchos Yom Tov in general. And then you get to the summer, you get to Tanios and to Shavuos Betamuz and Tisha B'Av. And then you get to Chodesh Tishrei and beyond. The Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph opens up the halachas of Rosh Hashanah, and the tour opens the halachas of Rosh Hashanah with a very ancient medrash, Pirkei de Belezer, that talks about Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. To think about where things come from and which Yamim Tovim commemorate which historical events. The Pesach is pretty obvious. Shavuos is pretty obvious. Some are a little less obvious. Before we get to Rosh Hashanah, the Pirkei de Belezer opens with Elul. Where does Elul come from? One of the months of the year. But the significance of Elul dates back to the first Elul out of Mitzrayim. Because the psukim are clear that Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Parshas Kisisa. Moshe Rabbeinu is up on Har Sinai for 40 days. He comes down. Shiva Asar B'Tamuz should have been a beautiful day of Kabbalah HaTorah. And instead it turns into a tragic day when he shatters the lufas. The Jews are busy with their Egel Hazav. He goes back up on the mountain. The Pirkei de Belezer says he went back up not one more time, but two more times. Pirkei de Belezer says that Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain for a total of three rounds of 40 days. So the first one was Shavuos to Shavuos B'Tamuz. Second one is the day after Shavuos B'Tamuz, comes down the end of Chodesh Av. That one was not successful. Finally, he goes up Rosh Chodesh Elul and comes down on Yom Kippur. Salachti Kedarech, the words we were saying today in Slichas. Yugel Mias Harachim, that we were saying this morning in Slichas. Those all come from Moshe Rabbeinu's third and final stay on Har Sinai, over the course of which Moshe Rabbeinu is mischanin and mevakesh rachman for Klal Yisrael, and he succeeds in achieving the first kaparas harabim. There had been tshuva in the past. Midrashim point out, Adam does tshuva, and Cain does tshuva, Yehuda does tshuva, Reuven does tshuva. There were plenty of individuals who had done tshuva in the past. There were plenty of individuals who had achieved as a result mechila, slicha, v'chapar in the past. But the first... The first Chet HaTzibur was on Shavuos B'Tamuz, and the first Kaparas HaTzibur was achieved over the course of the 40 days of Elul and Aseres Me'Tshuva leading up to the climax. The first successful message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll give you a second chance, was on Yom Kippur. So that's the historical significance of all of Chodesh El into Aseres Me'Tshuva and climaxing with Yom Kippur. So the notion of El is an ancient, that the significance of El is ancient. And that's why the opening siman, Tafkuf Pei Aleph, in Aruch Chaim, it talks about the various minhagim that Klal Yisrael have had for many of them for well over 1,000 years for Chodesh El. We have Shofar, the David Hashem or Yishi. Svardim have been saying slichas all throughout Chodesh El. Ashkenazim have different minhagim when you start slichas, but much closer to Rosh Hashanah. It's important to stress when you say slichos, whenever it is. By now we're all saying slichas, by this point to Chodesh El. The most significant part of the slichas is the Yud Gimel is Haracham, Hashem Hashem Karacham Vachan. That is the reason why that's a recurring motif over the course of Slichas, because that's the main point of the Slichas. Gemara describes that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Malami, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was Nisatev Kashliach Tzibur. I don't understand fully what that's a metaphor for, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu how to daven. Jews and people in general had been davening for thousands of years beforehand, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai teaches Moshe Rabbeinu that to daven Yud Gimel Mi'as HaRachem, Hashem Hashem HaRachem HaKhan, and that's a uniquely powerful way to ask for kapara as a tzibur. So that's something we can access any time of the year. If you daven Nesach Svard, that's how you begin Tachnun every Shachar and every Mincha. You daven Nesach Ashkenaz, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you daven Nesach Svard every Tachnun, Shachar and Mincha, you should be saying Tachnun typically both at Shachar and at Mincha. And every Tachnun, both Shachar and Mincha, begins with Vidui, Shan Vagadnu, and with Hashem Hashem Karach V'chan. If you daven Nesach Ashkenaz, so then Yud Gimel is a rarity. But certainly this season of the year, not surprisingly, this is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught it to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is when we're using it. Over the course of Slichas pre, I think as far as my understanding, you say the same exact Slichas every day all the way through. Ashkenazim, not only do we change out the piyutim from day to day, but also gradually increase the number of piyutim. And the point of increased number of the Slichas, of the piyutim, is really to increase the number of repetitions of Hashem, Hashem, Karachem, Lechan that we're saying. So we say some, the slichas, Ashkenazi slichas are shorter pre-Rosh Hashanah. I mean, we have fewer recitations of Yud Gimel Mi'as HaRachamim. And then over course, there are some, there are more. Erev Rosh Hashanah is even more. And then Yom Kippur, it's particularly a Ne'ilah, there are loads. Again and again and again, that's reaching the almost feverish climax when the slichas shrink often into two lines, just as a vehicle to have another Hashem Hashem Kerach V'chan. Sort of like the slichas are like, throughout this period, the slichas are like the setting into which the jewel of Hashem Hashem Kerach V'chan is placed. The slichas are the picture frame. The picture itself, the core, is Hashem Hashem Kerach V'chan. That's why if you're falling behind the minyan that you're up to in slichas, it's important not to let finishing the paragraph of the slicha, of the piyut, not to make the mistake of letting finishing the paragraph get in the way of reciting Hashem Hashem Kerach Mechan. That would be putting the cart before the horse. The ikar is Hashem Hashem Kerach Mechan. So wherever you're up to, when the tzibur is up to Hashem Hashem Kerach Mechan, you stop and you jump to there. I think we usually recommend that then pick up afterwards with the next slicha and get as far as you get, and then you'll curtail it and jump to the next Hashem Hashem Kerach V'chan. I have a nephew who told me he had heard many years ago from Moshe Heineman, one of the leading poskim in Baltimore, that he was of the opinion that it's better, instead of cutting the slicha short and then picking up after the Yud Gimel Mi'as HaRachamim with the next slicha, it's better to cut it short, say the Yud Gimel Mi'as HaRachamim, and then go back to where you're up to and finish the slicha to the end. Instead of saying bits of each slichas, he thought, or Heineman thought, it's better to skip whole slichas, because often you want to get the full flow from the sometimes there's a more pensive mood at the beginning of the piyut, and it builds towards a more positive crescendo. So if you're going to cut out all the ends, he thought you cut out all the positivity, you cut out all the most powerful tefillos. However you work it, however you want to manage your slicha skipping, but certainly the most important part of the slichas is saying the Yud Gimel Mi'as HaRachamim together with the tzibur. It's meant to be recited together with the tzibur. That is the most significant part of Yud Gimel Mi'as HaRachamim. The second most significant part, or the second and third most significant parts, are at the end of slichas. Combination of two things. I don't know how you would rank which is which, but after Yud Gimel Mi'as HaRachamim, which are the most ancient and the most significant, probably the second tier of significance in slichas is what comes at the end. Number one, vidui. Vidui is. And number two are those very repetitive seeming litany piyutim at the end. Ker Rachum Shemecha, Ker Chanun Shemecha, Aseleman Ametecha, Aseleman Brisecha, and so on and so forth. The ones that seem to repeat themselves again and again, just Aleph and Beis and Gimel and Dalet, have a similar framework to Avinu Malkeinu also. And Avinu Malkeinu, every line starts Avinu Malkeinu, and then a short, two, three-word Tchino. So that type of, those are both very significant for the following reason. Those short Tchinos at the very end are probably very, very ancient Piyutim. It could be they go back to the days of the Tanam of the Amoraim. Gemara indicates that Rabbi Akiva was saying some form of Avinu Malkeinu. I don't know if exactly he had all the same words that we have. We had other things, but that type of format is very ancient, and it could be when you're saying those Piyutim, you're saying Piyutim that your great-great-great-grandparents said. Gaonim may have been saying the same Piyutim. Amorim, maybe Tanam, were saying the same Piyutim. Those Piyutim at the very, very end. As opposed to the Slichas, that we tend to get more excited about, that offset, that are the paragraphs that appear in between the recitations of Hashem, Hashem, Karach, V'chan, they're certainly significant, but they're probably, that we know who wrote them. It tells you at the beginning. Who wrote them? They're written by various Rishonim. Important. But the Asei Lamans and so forth at the end are probably even more significant. And the other extra significant part of Slichos that comes at the end is Vidui. We'll talk about more in Aseres Metshuva, but the Rambam understands that saying Vidui for real, actually saying Vidui, is a mitzvah daraisa. The Rambam writes that one of the Tariq mitzvahs HaTorah is that when a Jew does tshuva, he should be mizvadeh. Let me translate that into English. That's like a little out there. I've heard those words 100 times. What that means is, translating to plain English, if I am in a process of growth, I looked in the mirror, I looked at the guy I see when I shave, and I said, you know, there are things that I'm proud of, and there are things that need changing. It could happen any time of the year. And then I actually want to take steps to improve, to grow, growth, improvement, change. That's called, in Hebrew, tshuva. So the Rambam writes that if I'm engaged in a process of growing, which hopefully we all are, I'm engaged in a process of trying to grow past where I am right now, so I have a mitzvah daraisa to talk about that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have a mitzvah daraisa to articulate that. That's what vidui is. To speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the change that I'm trying to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I feel bad that I've been, you know, messing up in X, Y, and Z, and I really want to make a change, and here is my plan. To talk out your tshuva process with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Rambam, is a mitzvah daraisa. That the one who is involved in tshuva should be mitzvadeh. That's what the words mean. In simple English. That's why we mentioned the other day that vidui is one of the mitzvahs that takes place in the context of Shemoneh Esrei, right? Because vidui is also a lifnei Hashem mitzvah. To have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about, to articulate my tshuva, to talk it out with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So vidui is also, so that's why Yugim and Sarachim are the main the main highlight, the keynote of Slichas, but the piyutim at the very end, the repetitive type piyutim, are very ancient, very significant, and certainly saying vidui for real is a mitzvah daraisa that is very much mitzvah daraisa any day of the year, and particularly significant this time of the year. Okay, so that lays the groundwork for thinking about this season in a more sophisticated way. We're going to go on from next time, talk a little more about Yanei Rosh Hashanah, and it's just food for thought to think about between now and then. Hopefully, you've been learning in Yanei Rosh Hashanah, no doubt, for a long time. But hopefully, we'll explore questions, continue next time, as we did now, to explore questions about topics which may be familiar, but specific questions and specific answers that maybe you weren't equipped to ask and to wonder about a couple of years ago, and now you are. And we saw we opened with the historical significance, what's being commemorated by Elul, what's being commemorated by Yom Kippur. You might wonder the same thing about Rosh Hashanah, and it's a good question to ask. And we'll see that there's an obvious answer, which is important, And then the Gra in his Be'er Agra in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, but in a very surprising location, gives us a whole other historical layer to Rosh Hashanah as well, which gives a new flavor to thinking about the theme and the mood of Rosh Hashanah. We'll also explore, hopefully, the Simanei Rosh Hashanah, why we do them, and you'll find out that the most famous one is the one, the only one that does not appear in the Gemara. And you might also wonder for next time, I get the honey, but why apples?
What?
That does not appear. The Gemara has all those other more obscure, the black-eyed peas and the leek that either you actually have or you just read about in the art scroll. Those all appear in Shas. The apple and honey doesn't. The honey I understand, but the apple? You already dipped your chal in honey. What's with the apple? Ma pesher advar. Minhagim mean things. What does it mean? This is a fascinating gra. You might also wonder more broadly, how is it mutter to have simanei Rosh Hashanah? I mean, the Torah told us a couple of weeks ago in Leini, Parsha Shoftim, that being superstitious is an iser daraisa. So it doesn't really seem, starting the year, a new year off with lavan daraisa at your table, doesn't really seem like the way to go. Like, you wouldn't sit down for a Rosh Hashanah Suda and say, well, we couldn't find any kosher meat, we want to have Yantav Suda, so we're serving ham and bacon instead. That would not be the way to go. So why are we more comfortable with what appear to be other lavan daraisa, like lo sanachashu v'lo sa'onenu? What is the pshat? And you also might be wondering, you've heard 10, 20, 30 times in your lives so far about Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros. Okay, Mishnayos in the last parak of Rosh Hashanah, some of you may have seen this past summer, sure, we've all said it in the past, or heard about it in the past, everyone's like, but of all things, why dafka that? What does that mean? I've heard it many times. Malchus, Achronos, Shofros. And those are meant to be telling me what? What am I meant to be thinking about? Especially, there's such a significant chiyuv to have 10 psukim organized in a particular way, but each of these three themes, we dafka blow the shofar in conjunction with them, and it could be the ikur kiyum of shofar is in conjunction with the psukim. What do those psukim actually mean? Like in simple English, what are malchias? What are zichronos? What are shofars? Why those three themes as opposed to all sorts of other important Jewish themes? Have we seen these before anywhere else other than Rosh Hashanah, such that we then begin to appreciate more what the Kavana is of Rosh Hashanah? And finally, if we believe that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, which we do, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take a look and see if we're tzaddikim or Rasha'im, you would think that the best thing to do on Rosh Hashanah would be to make sure you're a tzaddik. A good thing to do now, we're in the final week before Rosh Hashanah, Svarim, right? Today's Misakon all the Tuesdays of the year with this Tuesday. Tomorrow, Misakon all the Wednesdays of the year with tomorrow. And try to show about how Tuesday could have been, how I could have ideally lived Tuesday. So, okay. So, shouldn't we be running around this week trying to make sure we're tzaddikim? Should we run around the Rosh Hashanah trying to make sure we're tzaddikim? Tzaddik means you have a lot of mitzvahs. So, shouldn't we be on mitzvah overdrive? Why are we busy being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Whatever that even means. Imam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, some of us have had the chance to see images of what human Malchus looks like. So you have some mashal of a mashal to what it means to Imam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hamlachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is certainly very important, but it seems like poor timing, no? If you're going to be honest and thoughtful about it, if Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, and it all depends on whether I'm a tzaddik or a rasha, rov mitzvahs or rov averus, so Hamlachas Hashem is a very important theme, but shouldn't we do it some other time? Rosh Hashanah, we ought to. Obviously, no one here has ever had a havamina of cramming for a test. Maybe you know a guy. I have a friend who knows a guy whose cousin's brother's, best friend once had a havamina to not get all of his work done a week before, to not be fully prepared for the exam 3 days before. Maybe he had a havamina, to cram it in. The night before, the period before, as exam is about to start, during the last 10 seconds where you have to close your books, Rosh Hashanah. You want to make sure, this really matters. You want to make sure that you're a tzaddik. You want to make sure of a gzar din latov. So shouldn't you be cramming mitzvahs? Wouldn't that make a lot of sense? That should be that void of Rosh Hashanah. And some other day of the year will be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, I mean, Hamlochas Hashem is relevant all year long. So pick a different day for Hamlochas Hashem. But why Rosh Hashanah? I'm busy. I have to make sure I'm a tzaddik. I'm going to be busy on Hamlochas Hashem. I'm not going to have enough mitzvahs. Chas v'shalom. What's going to be with my din? So again, questions to think about for next time. What's Rosh Hashanah about? What historically, what's Rosh Hashanah about? What's specific, number two, what's specifically with the tapuach, masag b'dvash? Number three, how are any of the simonim mutter? They're all very beautiful, and it's a gemara, most of them. But how is it mutter? Is it against the pasuk in Parashat Shoftim? And then number four, and then number four, mach is achronos and shofros, what do they actually mean? That they are so significant. The temp sukkim for each and the shofar intertwined with them. What exactly are Machas Zechronos and Shofar? What are the themes? And finally, number five, if it's a Yom HaDin, why are we busy with Hamalachas Hashem when we should instead be busy trying to maximize the number of mitzvahs that we have so we maximize our opportunity, optimize ourselves to have a good din and take care of the Hamalacha some other time? Five questions to ponder about Rosh Hashanah, and Bli Neder will have more opportunities over the course of the rest of the week to explore some, or maybe all, of those questions.